Welcome to the Meet Hope podcast, where we have conversations about faith and hope. Hope is one church made of people living out their faith through two expressions, in person and online. We believe a hybrid faith experience can lead to a growing influence in our community and our world for the sake of others. Welcome to Hope.
Hi, and welcome to the Meet Hope podcast. I'm Amanda Cavalieri. I'm the director of Tomorrow's Hope Preschool and also the coordinator of marriage and parenting here at Hope. And I am excited because I get to sit down with a friend of mine today, Caitlin Beluzak. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
It's so good to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here.
A couple months ago, earlier in 2024, we had our Parenting in 2024 workshop, and you spoke at one of the sessions. You spoke to parents of kids in the elementary ages. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we jump into that, can you just let everybody know a little bit about you, who you are, your family, your job, your connection to Hope, all those good things?
Sure. Well, I have lived in Voorhees since I got married to my husband, Chris. We have four boys. They are 12, 10, and 8-year-old twins.
So busy.
So busy and so loud. I teach in a local elementary school, and I taught special education for 17 years. And at that point, the librarian in our school retired. Mm-hmm. And I thought that sounds like a really fun thing to do. I like to read. So I already had my master's in special education, so I only needed 6 graduate classes to get a certification for the library, and now that's what I do.
Oh, that's so fun.
It's the best.
Yes. Yes. I worked in elementary school for 10 years. I taught first grade, and the library was always so lovely and calm. And
it's really my favorite place to be, with kids and without kids.
Yes. So what's your connection to Hope here?
So we've been coming here since I was pregnant with the twins. So we've been here almost a decade now.
Wow.
I help back in the kids' wing. I teach on Sunday mornings, and my husband plays in the worship band, and we've already got my oldest volunteering in the kids' wing when he's not going to the middle school, Sunday school.
So you're raising children in this elementary and middle school age. Yeah. You are working with children in an elementary school. You are volunteering on Sundays with children in elementary
age. Lots of kid time.
And you are such an expert in this age bracket because of all those things.
Definitely have a lot of experience.
Lots of wisdom. So let's share some of that today with our listeners. So if you were talking to a parent whose kids are in this age range, these elementary years, what's one of the most important things that you would want to say to them?
Oh, it's so tiring, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
I think I would say, I feel you. I know. It's so tiring. It's relentless. It's long days. It's thankless. It sounds so negative, but I think people need to feel seen and heard. Mm-hmm. And so often in social media, we just see these candy-coated images of life, and that's not it at all. So yeah. I think the best analogy I've ever heard about parenting was a relation to getting onto a roller coaster where they put a shoulder harness over your shoulders, and the first thing you do is push the harness out to make sure it's not going to go anywhere. And the analogy was to that of kids pushing boundaries. Oh. And you are the shoulder harness. The parent is the shoulder harness, and the kids just push and push and push and push because they want to make sure you're not going anywhere because things get tough and they need that stability.
Yes. And it's exhausting.
It's so tiring.
So how do you set and hold those boundaries? What are some things that you do?
I think the important thing to remember is deciding on your core values. What are the values of your family? What do you hold near and dear to you when you're raising your kids? In our house, we focus on compassion and kindness and a helpful attitude and being positive and giving grace. And so if you can just focus on those values, I'm not going to say you can let everything fall by the wayside, but that's how you can determine what really matters and what you're really going to fight for and what you let go for the day. Mm. If compassion is important to my family, then I am never going to let my kids be anything but that. Mm. But if you don't want to wear your coat, then what am I going to do? I mean, you're 10.
That's a real fight with 10-year-olds.
It's a fight with shorts, t-shirts.
Yes.
Today.
And is it worth having?
I mean, I think at some point you have to let them feel the consequence of their own decision.
Mm.
Maybe you'll go outside. Maybe you won't be cold. And maybe your day will go as you planned. But maybe... maybe you'll be cold. Maybe you won't be allowed outside because your teacher says you don't have a coat on. At some point, we have to give up that control. We can't be in all the places at all the times. And so I have this very small little basket of things I can control. Mm. And everything else, I think you just have to hope and pray that God's going to take care of it the way that he intends to, and trust in his will, and mm-hmm. and pray that maybe his will is the same as your will.
Well, and that is, as our kids age, we have less and less control, right? When they are babies and toddlers and preschoolers, we're controlling their time and what they can eat and right. who they play with and when they go to bed and all of those things. And then as they get older and they're not with us for as long right. in the day and can now go choose who they want to spend their time with.
Right.
We have a whole lot less control.
Sure.
And that's scary.
Yes. And that's where I think those values come into play. Mm. If I'm sending you out in the world to be compassionate and kind, hopefully you're choosing friends who are compassionate and kind as well. And I don't have control over who you play with on the playground, but if you come home and ask to have a play date with someone that I don't necessarily think is the right match for you, then I do have control over that.
Right.
So I think the power is where you can control, and also in how you're preparing them for the world.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good.
I don't know. Thanks. Is that right?
This parenting thing is hard. There's no so right or wrong in parenting. We just, you know, you just throw
right.
things
it's
at the
a
wall
hope and
until
a prayer.
Sticks,
right? That's right. That's right. And they are, I think, you know what? That's another thing. They're listening. They're
yes.
listening. When you think they're not listening, they're listening. I hear it in the way that they speak to each other when they're in good moods. When they're in not so good moods, maybe it's not ideal, but when they are at their best, I hear love coming out of their mouth.
Mm.
So I think, oh, just hold on to that little glimmer of they're listening. They know.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah. I mean, everything we do is modeling for them.
Yes.
So, which is hard because we screw up.
We sure do.
We screw up all the time as parents,
all
right?
All day, every day.
Yeah. So, what do you do about that?
I think being introspective enough to know when you've messed up mm-hmm. and being transparent enough to admit to them that you've messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really recall being apologized to as a child, really,
no.
ever.
Yeah.
And that's no fault of my parents. It was a generational thing. You just
yes.
didn't apologize. And not only did I not hear it spoken directly to me, I never saw anyone say it to anyone.
Mm.
So I'm trying to teach my kids that I mess up. I've never done this before. I tell my oldest all the time, I've never raised a 12-year-old before.
Right.
So sorry, but you're the
guinea pig.
The
other three are going to benefit really well.
Except they're all different. So that's just, it's a shoot anyway. But anyway, but yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that thing. I got so frustrated mm-hmm. and I didn't mean it. And if I could take it back, I could, but I can't. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that you're going to show me the grace that I'm telling you to show everybody. And again, I think they do listen. On occasion, I do hear them say,
right.
either when pressed or maybe organically to their brothers, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I'm in a really bad mood.
That's awesome.
And it just becomes more comfortable, right? Nobody wants to have to apologize because nobody wants to admit that they're wrong. But if you make it comfortable to be wrong and comfortable to make mistakes, then it's easier to say, hey, I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I've done that too. We've all messed up. So it's just a comfort level.
Yeah, that's good. Sometimes I find when, I don't know, as they're getting older in the elementary age, you even have a middle schooler, emotions can sometimes run high. The hormones start kicking in.
I was just going to say, the hormones are so delightful.
And it's starting earlier and earlier in elementary school, really.
It sure
and
is.
Sometimes those can just really get out of control.
And then you feel it, right? Like they're heightened and then you're heightened and they're rude and then you're rude because it's just...
like all the intensity now is going up in the
building,
house.
It's building because we're only human.
Right.
Right? And I
mm-hmm.
think, again... I promise I'm not trying to throw my own parents under the bus, but like they just didn't know in the 80s and the 70s and during those decades that like there's a level of emotional regulation that we all need to have. And it's it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know how to do it. And it's hard to teach our kids to do it because we're still learning how to do it ourselves.
Right.
So that's really difficult. And I think you do need to figure out your own way to stay regulated.
So what do you do?
Well, I've been known to lock myself in my bedroom every once in a while with kids banging on the door. And I try, I'm not always successful, but I do try to verbalize what I'm doing when I do it. I'm feeling so frustrated right now. I need a break. And then I come back and say, I was feeling frustrated. You know, sometimes I think it's important to say your words or your behavior made me feel a certain way. I think they need to see that their actions and behavior have effects on other people and consequences on a situation and a relationship. I also have a little basket of like putty and a crossword puzzle book and my crocheting. It's just stuff that I can pick up that's kind of mindless so that I can get my brain off of whatever is bothering me. I can try to get my body calmer again and then from there move forward with a more level head. Because if I'm mad and you're mad, we're getting nowhere. Right. And we know that, right? We tell our kids that. This is not a time for you to figure out what's wrong. This is a time for you to go your own ways, get yourself calm, and come back and talk about it later. And that holds true for us too.
I love that you are using words with it, though, and saying, I am feeling frustrated, so I am taking a break.
Sometimes it's my only way of not losing my mind because my choices are screaming or I am feeling frustrated. Like, that's just, it's almost like a rote thing. I'm feeling so frustrated. It's just the words that come out.
And I need a break.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Because, I mean, they see you leave the room or take a walk or shut the door. But understanding the why is so important.
And granting permission for them.
Yes.
Right? You're feeling mad. Go take a break. It's
yes.
okay.
It's okay.
We all need you to take a break. Just go please take a break.
We're from you taking a break.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It gives them permission too. So, and then it helps you.
Yeah. Yeah. If mom can do it and dad can do it, I can do it too.
Right.
And that's okay.
Right.
And it's, that's different for everybody too.
It is.
What they need.
Right.
You know, to self-regulate.
I have a few of my kids like to use those fidgets just because it's mindless enough.
Right.
But it gets their focus off of whatever was bothering them. It helps their body feel calm. One of my sons likes to use Play-Doh. The other one will go outside and bounce a basketball when he's frustrated.
Right.
Another one puts on noise-canceling headphones because he's just overstimulated. I mean, it's different for everybody.
Right.
And I think figuring that out when you're calm is important because when you're in the moment, you're just in the moment and there's no rationale for anyone.
Right.
So you have to kind of think on that when you're regulated to think, what could I use in those moments to just take a breather and take a step back?
Yes. And go back to those core values, right?
Right. Like, I know that sometimes I get really flustered by my own children fighting with each other. Like, I don't even have input in it and they're just arguing and they bring it to me and I don't even know what happened. But I think if you can say, I don't know what you're fighting about. I wasn't there. I don't know who said what to whom. I don't know who touched what when, but I do know that we give each other grace in this house. I know that our rule is kindness. And somewhere along the line, someone's not giving grace, someone's not giving kindness. You know, insert your value there.
Right.
However it works for your family. But if you can keep going back to that, then there's no question about what we're trying to do here.
No.
Yeah.
That's so good. I recently, my two kids got into an argument upstairs. They were supposed to be, you know, like showering and getting ready for
minding their own business.
And one child comes down and says, he said, da, 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 gave me a story. The other kid comes down and said, she said, da, 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 da. Both of them let the part out of what they did wrong to each other, right? It was just
flawless.
Right? And so once you put all the pieces together, I'm like, huh.
Everybody's at fault.
I'm not sure what happened. I said, I'm not sure what happened, but I'm certain that you weren't being kind.
Right.
And
that's it.
And yeah. I said, I'm certain you're not being kind. And in this house, we're kind. And you know what would be kind right now? If you both go and fold that fold the laundry that's in that laundry basket and practice that kindness.
That's it. Help each other out.
And they looked at me like, no, I'm serious. Go do it.
Yep. I saw an image on Instagram years ago, and it was this mother who had like an oversized undershirt, and it was like the get-along shirt, it said. She wrote in marker, the get-along shirt. And she put both of her kids in the get-along shirt, and they had to like hug it out. As an aside, I'm so glad to hear this fight in your house is happening because I feel like even though we're all honest about how like hard parenting is, like until you hear those actual war stories, you're like, surely this is only me. Like surely no one's house is as ridiculous as mine.
We are all in the same boat. I could tell you many
stories. We should do another podcast where we just tell ridiculous stories that happen. Yes. And we could just, you know, we could call it commiseration.
Yeah.
Just all commiserate together. There you go.
Oh my gosh. That's too funny. So, I mean, this age is neat. We talked about how our kids are spending less time with us. There's the less control that we have. They are choosing their own friendships. They're also learning how to develop a faith of their own. And so what are some things that we as parents can do? Since you work back here with Hope Kids, mm-hmm. you help teach the Bible class and the communion class and VBS, so many things. What are some things that we parents can do with kids in this age to help them develop a faith of their own? Because sure. it's not just ours anymore. They're learning how to do these things
right.
on their own.
I think, obviously, that first list of what you value is most important. But if you're a Christian, we are called to be Christ-like. And so I always think back to those bracelets from the 90s, WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would he do? Would he speak out for injustice? Would he stand up for the kid who's getting picked on? Would he fight to get in the shower first with his brother? Mm-hmm. Or would he give grace? I don't know. I think every time you teach or parent or show or demand a value from your children as a follower of Christ, it points back to him. It always does. There's mm-hmm. just no way around it. Pastor Jeff said, I think a few years ago now, people who would say, oh, I'm a good person, I don't need to be a Christian, he would say, by whose standard? It's by Christ's standard. Mm-hmm. That's the standard we're all trying to live up to. Mm-hmm. And I think the more time that you're here in church, both going to church in the worship space and sending your kids back to Hope Kids, it all just comes together and it becomes more normalized to talk about mm-hmm. in your house. Mm-hmm. Jesus was kind. Jesus was caring. Jesus held people accountable. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing. I'm also showing that example. I'm holding you accountable as someone right. that I love. So I think sometimes we do it and we don't even know it.
Right.
Then there's other ways. We say our prayers at night. Okay. We try to talk yeah. about the PRAY acronym, praise, repent, ask, yield. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very logical step-by-step way mm-hmm. of reminding our kids how to talk to God, but also that they can just talk to him whenever. I will frequently say, both out of desperation and honesty, when my kids are like, I can't sleep. I'm like, you should tell God about it. Like, I really just need you to go to bed. But also when I can't sleep, I pray. I have worries that are keeping me up. I have thoughts that are keeping me up. Give them to God. God, take this. So I've told my youngest, just keep saying that over and over again. God, take this worry. God, take this worry. God, take this worry. And he gets up the next morning and he'll say, God took my worry.
Oh,
say, ha ha. It worked. Awesome. So I just think there's easy ways. And the deeper we are in our faith, the deeper we can help them become in their faith. It's, you can't teach something that you don't know.
Right.
So
right.
I think that's a really important piece. We can want that for our kids, but we also have to have it for ourselves.
So taking care of our own.
I think so.
Walk with Christ is being...
it's a good steward of those values.
Yes. And so you taking the time for yourself.
Right.
And modeling it for them. And, you know, it sounds like your family values being at church together, being at worship, praying together. Those are all such important things that we can be doing with our kids.
I think so. I think they need to see it. It just sets the tone. Mm-hmm. And of course, they can make their own choices. Like you said, they grow up and they make their own choices and they have their own beliefs. But mm-hmm. hopefully it will be such a tool to them mm-hmm. that they don't know how to do their life without it.
Right.
I don't know how to do it in my own life. I know my husband doesn't know how to do it in his. Right. So
yeah,
I think that modeling is really important too.
Yeah. And when we don't know what to do or our kids are making choices that are out of our control, what do we do?
I mean, what do we do, right? We have to pray on it. We have mm-hmm. to give it to God. We have to say, I've heard of this before, but I've kind of come back to it. I've recently become really bold in my prayer. This is what I want for my kids. This is what I want. It's God's will. He'll have his way, but this is what I want. And mm-hmm. he knows that anyway. We don't even need to tell him what we want for our kids. He knows, but just being able to speak it and have power over that thought, I want my kids to make good friend choices. I want them to be able to read. I don't want them to struggle. Or if they do struggle, I want there to be a purpose. Mm-hmm. And just, it gives, I always struggled with the idea of just give it to God. Just give it to God. What does that look like? What does that even mean? Give it to God. I don't understand. It feels like I have to put it in a balloon and send it up into the sky. But I think for me, writing down my prayers is helpful because mm-hmm. I'm a verbal person. So I need the words to match what I'm thinking. And also recognizing that he does have a plan. And I think that's what it means when you give something to God. You have to say, if I'm going to say I'm Christian and if I'm going to say I follow Jesus, then I have to also believe that there is a plan.
Right.
A plan for good. Just like, you know, we had that scripture on the nursery wall from Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Plans I have are good, right?
Right.
So we have to trust that. And I think that's what it means.
Right.
It's saying I have no control over this. So, like, I actually have to say those words sometimes. I have zero control over this. Right. I am up the creek. But God is not, right?
Right. Right.
So
yeah.
I think just saying, this is what I want, but I know you have a plan and I know that it'll work out. And all over my life I've seen it work out. In the darkest of times, it has always worked out in some way.
Remembering how God is faithful.
Just being faithful to that thought.
Yeah. And I think when we're teaching our kids to pray and when they're young like this, sometimes we forget because we're adults that what they are worried about or what they're scared about to us is small, mm-hmm. but to them, it's their world.
It's huge.
So when they say, you know, I'm worried about this test or this friend wasn't nice, and we say, that's okay. You don't need to worry about it.
Right.
That just negates it.
And it does.
To them, this is their world.
And it is.
So getting down and let's pray about that test. And mm-hmm. for us, it might seem silly.
Right.
But for them, it's how we can teach.
Right. Right.
From the very beginning. Oh, I can go to God with a worry about a spelling test or a friend or whatever it might be.
Everything they're experiencing is the lowest low they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just, I mean, without sounding negative, it just gets worse from here. Right. I mean, it is not fun being a grown up. So every low they experience is the lowest they've ever felt. And so that's huge.
Yes.
That's huge.
Yes. So, oh, this has been great. I wish we could talk
forever. I love chatting with you.
I know. It's so much fun. I love talking to you too.
Thanks.
What would you say there's one or two big takeaways that you would want parents to know from our time?
I think it's just find those like-minded, like-valued people and trust them and trust their opinions and work together because it really does take a village. And
yes.
And power to the homeschooling parents because mm-hmm. I could never teach my own children academics. Mm-hmm. And similarly, even though I go to church and I lead in the kids wing, mm-hmm. they need other people speaking that into them.
Absolutely.
So I think not only helping them find their right people, but introducing the right people to them, bringing yes. them to those spaces where the right people are.
That's great. And honestly, that goes for every age of our kids. As they get into those teen years and beyond, we want right. those trusted adults
yeah.
speaking into them, not just us.
This is my first experience. I teach in the elementary school where my kids go.
Mm.
I teach in the kids' wing here at church where they are. So having a middle schooler is the first time I've ever sent one of my children out away
right.
from me at school in Hope Youth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so grateful for Joyce at the
middle school,
the middle school yeah. Sunday school, and Jason and all the adults that pour into the kids there. Like he says, it's the one joy of his week. And I'm so grateful for it that he has a place that he looks forward to going and he can get the values and he can hear it from someone other than me.
Yes.
Because while they are listening, sometimes they're not.
And sometimes they get tired of hearing our voices. And let's sometimes be honest.
I'm tired of hearing my own voice. Yes. So I'm glad somebody else can speak it to him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, this has been wonderful.
Thanks.
You have so much wisdom to share.
Oh, that's
thank
very
you.
Nice.
Thank you
thank
for sharing
you.
It.
And thank you for asking me to do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And thank you to all of our listeners. We are so grateful to have you here at our Meet Hope podcast and encourage you to keep listening as we bring wisdom and love into the lives of others.
Thanks for being a part of the Hope community as we continue our conversations about faith and hope. If you don't already, please join us for worship on Sundays or on demand. You can learn more at meethope.org or find us on socials at meethopechurch.